All right, so get ready, because we're about to take a deep dive into ancient Judah. We're going to unpack this story of King Hezekiah. It's a fascinating story. He was a leader who faced some pretty intense challenges. And then he made decisions that really had like a ripple effect for generations.
Yeah.
We're going to be exploring some excerpts from Dr. John Oswalt's lectures on the Book of Kings, specifically Session 28, Part 2.
Okay.
And let me tell you, this story has it all. You know,
yeah.
Illness, miracles, international intrigue. And it really digs into some thought-provoking lessons about what trust really is all about.
You know, I think what is so fascinating about Hezekiah's story is that it reminds us that even those who are considered, you know, quote-unquote good,
yeah,
can make choices that end up having lasting consequences.
Yeah.
And not just for themselves, but, you know, for generations to come.
Right.
And we see that played out in a really stark way in Hezekiah's life.
Okay, so let's kind of, like, set the scene here. So Hezekiah gets incredibly sick.
Yes.
Like, so sick that word reaches Marduk-Baladan, king of Babylon, over 600 miles away across the desert.
Yeah.
Now, back then, news didn't exactly travel at the speed of, like, Twitter.
No, not at all. Imagine trying to get a message across that distance today. I mean, without, you know, phones or the internet or anything like that.
Right.
It really underscores how serious Hezekiah's illness must have been.
Good job.
For it to reach, you know, such a far-off ruler. I mean, it had to be a big deal.
It makes you wonder, like, who was this Marduk-Baladan guy? And why would he even care about a sick king all the way over there in Judah?
Well, to put it simply, Marduk-Baladan was a thorn in the side of the Assyrian Empire, which was kind of the major power in the region at that time. And he was always rebelling against Assyrian rule. And he was a real, like, I mean, almost a trickster in a way. He would disappear when things got tough and then reemerge to stir up trouble all over again.
So kind of like a geopolitical game of whack-a-mole.
Yeah, precisely. And when he heard about Hezekiah's, you know, miraculous recovery, well, let's just say he saw an opportunity there. He probably thought, what's this guy's secret weapon? How did he pull off this remarkable comeback? So he dispatches these envoys to Judah, most likely hoping to glean some insights into Hezekiah's success.
Okay, this is where things get really interesting. You would think that Hezekiah, after experiencing such a dramatic healing, would be so eager to share the source of his strength,
right?
His faith in Yahweh. But that's not what happens at all. Instead, he decides to show off his wealth and all his possessions to these Babylonian envoys.
All the blings.
Yeah, all the bling. The gold, the silver, spices, armories. I mean, you name it. He flaunted it.
Right.
It's almost like he missed this prime opportunity to really talk about what truly mattered.
It is a curious choice, isn't it? Here's a king who's had this, like, firsthand experience of God's power. And yet he gets so caught up in outward appearances. You know, it makes you wonder if maybe he was feeling a bit insecure, you know, wanting to impress these envoys from, you know, Babylon, which was this very sophisticated and powerful city. And maybe in doing so, he kind of forgot that true strength lies in that relationship with God, not in material possessions.
It's like, you know how you have a car and you have a spare tire in the trunk?
Yeah.
It's like he treated faith like that spare tire. You only pull it out when there's like an emergency, you know?
Yeah.
It's not something that is essential for like every day, you know, the everyday journey.
Right.
But shouldn't his experience have taught him that faith is more like the engine?
Right.
The driving force behind everything.
That's a great analogy. It really does highlight, you know, how Hezekiah, despite his piety, kind of almost compartmentalized his faith.
Yeah.
Instead of letting it permeate every single aspect of his life. And, you know, as we're going to see, this short-sightedness would have consequences.
Yeah.
That extended far beyond just his own reign.
So, I mean, somebody had to call him out on this.
Oh, yeah. Enter the prophet Isaiah. You know, he confronts Hezekiah about this whole, you know, showing off to the envoys thing. And Hezekiah, maybe feeling a bit sheepish at that point, admits to revealing everything. And then what follows is just, it's like a bombshell of a prophecy.
Wow.
From Isaiah.
Okay.
He foretells that everything Hezekiah so proudly displayed would one day belong to Babylon.
Wow. That's, I mean, talk about a reality check.
Yeah.
You think I would just like shake Hezekiah to his core.
Right.
Did he take this warning to heart?
Well, this is where things get, well, a little disheartening. Hezekiah's response is essentially, well, you know, as long as it doesn't happen while I'm alive, you know, I'm good.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah.
That seems incredibly short-sighted.
It is.
Especially for someone who had just, like, experienced a miraculous healing. I mean, it's almost as if he was saying, future generations can deal with the consequences of my actions. I'm just going to enjoy my peace and prosperity while it lasts.
Exactly. And, you know, I think Hezekiah's reaction, it really reveals this flaw in his understanding of trust. He viewed it as this, like, one-time transaction. Like, okay, God healed me, so now everything is fine.
Right.
Rather than, you know, this continuous way of life.
Yeah, it's like, check that box off, done.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think it raises this question for all of us. I mean, do we sometimes approach faith the same way?
Yeah.
Like as a quick fix,
right,
rather than a transformative journey?
Exactly.
That's a really powerful question for all of us to consider. But before we, I have to ask, what happened next? Did Hezekiah's choices have any immediate impact on his family?
Well, before we get to his family, I kind of want to circle back to Isaiah's prophecy for a moment, because it's easy to overlook the fact that he predicted Babylon would take everything Hezekiah had shown off over 150 years before the Babylonian exile actually happened.
It's like he had a crystal ball.
Right.
That showed him this future event, like with stunning accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not just, you know, a lucky guess.
No.
That's divine insight.
Right.
That's wow.
And remember, this wasn't a one-off warning either. I mean, Isaiah consistently warned about this Babylonian threat.
Right.
Even though, you know, at that time, Assyria was the dominant power. It's
yeah.
like being told to worry about, like, a distant hurricane while there's a tornado right outside your door.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, yeah, but I'm kind of dealing with this right now. But it's a good reminder to pay attention to those long-term warnings.
Absolutely.
Even when the immediate concerns seem way more pressing.
Yeah. So, but back to Hezekiah, you mentioned his actions had consequences.
Yes.
What happened within his own family?
Well, let's talk about his son, Manasseh. He became king after Hezekiah passed away, and unfortunately, he went down a very different path. In fact, he is considered one of the most wicked kings in Judah's history.
Wow. That's a dramatic contrast.
Yeah.
What led to such a drastic shift between father and son? I mean, you'd think a king who experienced God's power firsthand. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You think he would raise his kids to follow the same path?
Well, you would think, right? It's impossible to say for certain, of course. But, you know, I think it's worth considering the influence of Hezekiah's choices.
Okay.
You know, remember, he focused on outward appearances,
yeah.
on impressing others with material wealth. And so it's possible that even unintentionally, this emphasis sort of shaped Manasseh's worldview as he was growing up.
So maybe Manasseh grew up thinking power and possessions were like the ultimate measure of success.
Yeah.
Rather than having a deeper connection with God.
Exactly. And, you know, I think this raises an important question for all of us. Think about the values we're passing on to the next generation, whether we're parents or mentors or just members of a community.
Right.
Are we emphasizing, you know, lasting principles like integrity, compassion, faith? Or are we even subtly, you know, promoting this pursuit of just superficial gains?
Right.
You know, it's a question worth pondering because our actions, they can have ripple effects that go way beyond our own lives.
That's a very sobering thought. You know, it's like that saying, children learn more from what we do than from what we say.
Exactly.
So we have Hezekiah, this good king who kind of stumbles, prioritizing these appearances over genuine faith. And then we have his son Manasseh who chooses this path of wickedness.
Yeah.
It's almost like this cautionary tale about, you know, the dangers of losing sight of what truly matters.
It absolutely is. And, you know, I think it underscores this interconnectedness of our choices. We may think our actions only affect us, but they can have these unintended consequences that ripple through families and communities for generations. And it brings us back to this kind of central theme of this whole deep dive. Trusting in God isn't a one-time fix. It's not like you get saved and that's it. You know, you're good to go. It's a lifelong journey of aligning our hearts and our actions with His will.
So we've seen how Hezekiah's misstep really did have lasting consequences.
Mm.
But is there any hope in this story at all? Does it offer any encouragement for us today?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even though Hezekiah faltered, you know, he still had this deep relationship with God. And remember, God used him to bring about spiritual revival in Judah. I mean, he wasn't perfect, but he was still this vessel for God's work.
So I guess it's a reminder that none of us are perfect.
Right. Yeah.
And that's okay. What matters is recognizing our weaknesses,
yeah.
seeking God's forgiveness, and then continuing to grow in our faith.
Exactly. And, You know, that's a message that really resonates no matter where we are in our own faith journey.
Absolutely.
We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to face challenges. And we're even going to stumble from time to time.
Yeah.
But what matters is that we keep our eyes fixed on God, trusting in his guidance and his strength to lead us through. His grace and mercy are never out of reach, even when we falter.
Okay, so even in this story of, you know, flawed choices and these unintended consequences, there's still a glimmer of hope. But how do we apply these ancient lessons, I mean, really apply them, to our modern lives? How do we make sure we're building our lives on a foundation of genuine trust and not just like fleeting appearances? How do we avoid falling into that same trap?
Yeah.
How do we like shift our focus from those fleeting appearances to a more enduring trust in God? Where do we even begin?
Well, I think it starts with kind of recognizing those subtle ways that we might be prioritizing image over substance. You know, it's about being honest with ourselves and really like asking some tough questions. Where are we? Where are we seeking validation? What are we holding on to? You know, that might actually be hindering our spiritual growth.
Right.
What are we allowing to define our sense of worth?
Those are some pretty profound questions.
Yeah.
It sounds like a process of, like, I mean, not just decluttering our homes, but decluttering our hearts.
Yes.
And our minds as well.
Absolutely.
Creating that space for something so much more meaningful to take root.
Exactly. It's about making this like conscious choice to align our lives with what really truly matters.
Yeah.
You know, it might mean simplifying our lifestyles.
Right.
Reevaluating our priorities. Or even, you know what, even letting go of things we've held dear for too long.
Yeah.
It's a process of letting go of the superficial.
Right.
To make room for the substantial.
It's a good reminder that trust in God isn't just this, like, passive concept, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's active.
It is.
It's an ongoing choice that shapes, I mean, it shapes how we live, how we interact with others, and how we navigate all those, like, inevitable challenges that life throws our way.
Yeah.
It's about choosing to see God's hand at work.
Yes.
Even when things get tough. And remembering that our true identity and security, those are found in him.
Yeah.
Not in our achievement.
No more.
Or our possessions.
Well said. Beautifully said. It's about embracing that journey of faith with all of its, like, twists and turns. Knowing that, guess what? We don't have to have it all figured out.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
It's about surrendering our need for control.
Right.
Allowing God to guide our steps.
As we're kind of wrapping up this deep dive into Hezekiah's choices, I'm left with this question.
Yeah.
And I hope each of you listening will ponder this as well. What area of your life, just think about it, what area of your life might need a little decluttering?
Yeah.
To make more room for trust in God? What step, even just a small one, can you take today to shift your focus from outward appearances to a deeper, you know, more authentic connection with the one who truly matters?
That's a wonderful challenge to leave our listeners with. It's a journey worth taking and one that ultimately leads to a life of greater purpose, peace, and fulfillment. And remember, even when we stumble, God's grace and mercy are always available.
Yeah.
Ready to guide us back to that path of authentic trust and lasting joy.
We've been talking about this fascinating story of Hezekiah, this king who experienced incredible miracles and yet still, you know, kind of made some pretty big missteps along the way.
He did.
It makes you wonder, what's the takeaway for us? I mean, for us today, centuries later, what can we actually learn from his choices, both the good and the bad?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is.
How do we take this ancient account, glean wisdom from it, and then apply it to our modern, you know, 21st century lives? I think one of the most important lessons is that even those who, you know, truly love God, they can still get caught up in the wrong things.
Right.
We're all human. We all face these temptations. And there are so many pressures that can just pull us away from what truly matters.
It's like Hezekiah got so fixated on, like, impressing those Babylonian envoys.
Right.
That he just totally missed this golden opportunity to share, you know, where his strength came from.
Yeah.
His hope. He allowed the allure of material wealth, you know, and worldly power to just overshadow, like, that deeper truth that he had experienced firsthand.
It's so easy to get caught up in that, isn't it? I mean, whether we're talking about social media or, you know, our careers or just wanting to fit in. I mean, it's so easy to get caught up in that pursuit of outward success or just validation, forgetting that true fulfillment. I mean, it comes from a much deeper source.
Right. Yeah. So how do we avoid falling into that same trap?
Yeah.
How do we shift our focus from those fleeting appearances to a more enduring trust in God? Where do we even begin?
Yeah.
I think it starts with, you know, recognizing those subtle ways that we might be prioritizing image over substance. You know, are we more concerned about how things look rather than, you know, the deeper reality?
Yeah.
And it's about being honest with ourselves and asking those tough questions. Where are we seeking validation? What are we holding on to that might actually be hindering our spiritual growth?
Right.
What are we allowing to define our sense of worth?
Those are huge questions.
They are, but they're important.
They are so important. It sounds like a process of decluttering, not just our homes, but our hearts and our minds as well.
It is.
Like creating that space for something so much more meaningful to take root.
Exactly. It's about making that conscious choice to align our lives with what truly matters.
Yeah.
You know, it might mean simplifying our lifestyles. It might mean reevaluating our priorities or even letting go of things that we've held onto for dear life, you know, for way too long.
Mm.
It's a process of letting go of the superficial to make room for the substantial.
It's a good reminder that trusting in God isn't just this passive concept.
No.
It's an active choice.
Yes, it is.
It's an ongoing choice that shapes how we live, how we interact with others, and how we navigate all those inevitable challenges that life throws our way. It's about choosing to see God's hand at work even when circumstances are difficult, and remembering that our true identity and security, those are found in Him, not in our achievements or possessions.
Well said. It's about embracing the journey of faith with all its twists and turns, knowing that we don't have to have it all figured out. It's about surrendering our need for control and allowing God to guide our steps. And, you know, it's okay to not have all the answers. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to question. What matters is that we keep seeking, we keep growing, and we keep trusting in Him.
That's a great point. And as we wrap up this deep dive into Hezekiah's life and his choices, you know, I'm left with this question. What area of your life, and I'm asking each of you listening this, what area of your life might need a little decluttering to make more room for that trust in God? What step, even just a small one, can you take today to shift your focus away from those outward appearances and toward a deeper, more authentic connection with the one who truly matters? Because at the end of the day, that's what really counts.
That's it. It's about that connection. It's about that relationship. And it's a journey worth taking, for sure. One that ultimately leads to a life of greater purpose, peace, and you know what? Even joy. And remember, even when we stumble, even when we mess up, God's grace and mercy are always available, always there to guide us back to that path of authentic trust and lasting joy. So keep seeking Him, keep trusting Him, and keep growing in your faith.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.